You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, August 28th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Blessing, so I borrowed a car from my sister-in-law for this, like, for
the... Oh, no. Where is this going?
I did not realize how Hunger Games alternate side parking is. I got to move the car on Friday because that's when street sweeping happens. I'm going to move it just to the other side of the street. It's going to be fine. Drove around for about 40 minutes looking for a space. Did not find one. Had to park in a metered space on the street over there until the show was over. And I'm going to, like, bolt out to go, like, either pay more or move that car again. But holy shit, that's terrible. I've never driven in a terrible city. Awful.
So this was a thing where when I moved to San Francisco in January, or I guess December, that was like the first thing that I noticed and that I asked people about who lived here. And they're like, oh, wait, other big cities don't have street sweeping where you have to, like, park on one side of the street until like Thursday or whatever, and then move your car because you can't park on the street for too long or else you get a ticket.
Bro, people don't
coming
fuck
from
around.
Seattle, that was people don't what now?
Don't fuck around here. I'm very happy.
There's no parking.
I'm happy that my schedule... Well, you're in a particularly bad spot.
It's terrible over here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was one of those things where, like, every Friday at 9, between 9 and 9:30, we had to move the cars. Because, remember, we have three cars, so that was a problem. And we had a garage and the space in front, but still one more spot I had to find every week. So, the whole block would switch over. Everyone kind of knew where they were going just because we were all used to it. So we'd have to switch on Thursday because it was street cleaning across the street on Thursday. And then we had to switch again on Friday to move it back and leave it there for the week. What a hassle.
Yeah. Dude, it's terrible. I park 8 minutes away, like an 8 minute walk away from where I actually live. And so I had to do that walk every morning when we were actually working at the office. And like the street sweeping itself wasn't as big of an issue because with that, I would just park strategically. I'd be like, okay, cool. Street sweeping is happening tomorrow. I'm just going to park on this side of the street when I get home. Okay, cool. With the whole work from home thing and with us not necessarily leaving our houses that much, that's thrown a whole wrench because for the first few months of that, they lifted street sweeping as far
which
as like
awesome.
Tickets.
Like, set it and forget
great.
It. You know what I mean? Great. I'll see you
yeah,
in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye, car.
Yeah, I legit didn't see my car for a good like 2 months, you know, until... until they reinstated street sweeping and people getting tickets for street sweeping. And it's been such a hassle because I have to remember every Thursday or every Friday or whatever day it is that I have to get up and go move my car. And I have to walk like 8 minutes for no reason, just move my car so they can clean the roads. It's a hassle.
One more week, baby. You got it.
One more week. My next place has parking, and I'm very excited about it.
Oh,
it's like, it was my
great.
Biggest thing. Yeah, I got a garage space. It's awesome. But Imran, enough about garage spaces. Let's talk about more details on Ratchet & Clank, an idea of what the PS5's launch date might be, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at the patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping, our Kinda Funny Gamescast Gamescom opening night live post-show analysis is live everywhere. Of course, yesterday was opening night live. We reacted live with y'all right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. After that, we did Gamescast, and that's up right now, and that's going to affect not affect, but that forms today's Games Daily, because of course, Kind of Funny Games Daily, we talk about all the news. I didn't want to essentially repeat all the content that we did yesterday because we did a deep dive. And so if you're the kind of person who's like, oh yeah, I listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily, but I don't listen to Gamescast, treat today / yesterday's Gamescast as a Games Daily, because you're going to get all your Gamescom updates and details there. But of course, today we'll still be touching on some of the bigger news from Gamescom. And so there you go. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Muhammad and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Klarna and Bespoke Post, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen!
Love it, Kevin. Starting with our number one, we have even more details on Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart. Of course, yes, yesterday, this is one of the big things that came out of Gamescom. We got a big old Ratchet and Clank gameplay trailer. With that, we got an announcement of the 2020, or not even 2020, we got the announcement of the launch window, right? Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is coming out during the launch window. But with that, we got even more details, including stuff about the two resolution modes. And so I'm going to start with reading off an article from Rebecca Valentine at gamesindustry.biz, who writes, "The Gamescom Opening Night Live showcase today concluded with an extended gameplay trailer for Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, as well as the announcement that it would release at some point during PlayStation 5's launch window. The PS5 is currently set to launch in holiday 2020, and the precise meaning of launch window remains up for interpretation." And now I'm going to pull from Jordan Alleman at IGN, who writes, "Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart will offer two resolution modes, 4K at 30 FPS and 60 FPS at lower resolutions." That's according to a Famitsu interview featuring Marcus Smith and Mike Daly of Insomniac Games, as spotted by Nibel on Twitter. In the interview, Famitsu asks about the supported frame rates and resolutions for Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, with Daly responding that the game will offer two separate modes for players to pick from to balance comfortable gameplay with beautiful graphics. One is 30 FPS at 4K resolution, and the other is lower resolution at 60 FPS, the translation reads. Later in the same interview, the interpreter mentions that the Ratchet & Clank series ditched the 60 FPS benchmark set by the PS2 games in favor of 30 FPS and better graphics for PS3 and PS4 players. With the PS5 release, it appears that they're now giving players the choice between these two different styles. Imran Khan, I got two questions for you. Mm-hmm. One, what does launch window mean? Because I've seen this across the internet that nobody can agree on what a launch window is. And then two, what's your take on the resolution modes?
So launch window means different things depending on who you ask. And often party platform holders will want to make it or stretch it out as long as possible because it's a nice buzzword. It says like, hey, you'll get these games and within launch window. The longest I've seen it talked about is 6 months. I've maybe seen some people stretch it out to the definition of like a year? 9 to a year. Yeah, that's insane. It's hard to say what Sony thinks it is, what the realities of COVID are around it. And I don't know. It when they say Ratchet and Clank is launch window, to me that means okay, February at the latest. But who by their definition, maybe it's like June or May or something.
Yes. The launch window terminology is interesting in this case because I feel like for this, them saying launch window and not committing to a particular month is them being like, hey, things are still up in the air. Like they don't know themselves, because I feel like if they knew when the game would be ready and when they want the game to get out, or let me not even say that, when they think the game will be ready, mm-hmm. I think they'd tell us. I think they'd be a little bit more specific as far as, oh yeah, February, or oh yeah, March. I feel like this is a case of probably COVID affecting development time and development cycles, and you know, things kind of being thrown off in a way where they're like, hey, let's not commit right now because we're still kind of working on this thing and figuring out when it's exactly going to be ready.
And there's like there's marketing concerns too. Like, do you want to have too many Insomniac games at one time? Because there's Spider-Man and there's as well. So also it's going to be the PS5's probably first family game. So do you release that at launch? There's Playroom that's built in. Yeah. But like, do you release that at launch when the people buying are the most hardcore and loyal and are probably not family specifically, or do you release that like closer to Christmas or even after Christmas when there's more supply and there's like a better trickle in of PS5s to people who aren't necessarily the most loyal customers.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, right? Like, what does Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart do for the PlayStation 5 strategically? And yeah, right. After Christmas would make a lot of sense, especially if you have, like, during Christmas, so many families are going to get PS5s, right, for their kids or for whoever. And when you're talking about a family game, when you're talking about people who might get some disposable income during Christmas, like, that post-Christmas bump for Ratchet & Clank could be awesome for that game. It could be awesome for what that game does for the PS5.
Yeah. As for the frame rate things, it's good that there's a choice, because I'd rather have more options than not, but I also, it's a bad look for a new console. And I know that, like, those two ideas contradict, but I'd rather have both. Give me 4K and 60 FPS. I know you can't do that, because, like, then you're compromising on graphical fidelity too, but when I saw that, like, Demons is doing that, like, they're doing a frame rate versus resolution thing, I initially went, but I don't want to choose, because either one I'm going to choose, that puts it on me to be disappointed.
Yeah, because it feels like you're sacrificing something.
Yeah, I'm sacrificing something I don't want to sacrifice, because I want the fucking best looking game, and I want good frame rate. If they release Demons, for example, as just 4K and 30 FPS, I would have lived with it more than I would have if I chose 4K 30 FPS. And that's also true of, like, Ratchet as well. And I understand, I know that's a bonkers mentality, but once I make that choice, this happened with Monster Hunter too, where I chose frame rate over resolution, and I was just like, oh god, I wonder what this game looks like in 4K, and I switch over, like, oh, this looks really good, but this doesn't feel right. So I switch back, and, like, this feels good, but doesn't look as good as it could. And yeah, I feel like that's going to end up being a constant with the PS5 and Xbox Series X.
Yeah, I'm with you with that thought process. And this isn't something that I don't have too much of a dog in this fight, because I'm not necessarily, like, a big, you know, technology person as far as, oh, I want the biggest, beefiest hardware. I'm still rocking a base PS4 because I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. And with that upgrade from PS4 to PS4 Pro, and that kind of introducing the idea of, oh yeah, you can choose resolution, or you can choose performance, right? Like, I understand it more for that type of upgrade than a base PS5, especially with them leading the charge with their first party games giving that choice. Because kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, did they confirm the same thing for Spider-Man Miles Morales as far as, like, you being able to choose different modes for that game? Because yeah, like, Ratchet and Clank and Demons having that, I think, is interesting for where Sony is at as far as how they communicate that stuff and how much they seem to want to promote that stuff. Yeah. For me personally, as a player, I'm like, yeah, give me whatever your vision is as a developer for how you want me to play this game. Give me that. I don't necessarily want the choice, and that feels like a weird thing to say, and I'm probably in the wrong, right? Like, there are so many players who are probably like, oh no, please give me the choice, because I do prefer 60 FPS, or people who are out there that are like, I do prefer 4K. But I'm also kind of with you of, like, when can I expect to get both 4K and 60 FPS? And is that too big of an expectation? Is that me then asking for them to sacrifice in visual quality or art or whatever the sacrifice may be in that case?
Right. We might end up in, like, a situation like with Halo Infinite, where depends on how you look at, like, feel about that game's graphics, but that is a game that is, they're bragging, is 4K 60 FPS. Doesn't necessarily look as good as, let's say, Ratchet and Clank.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, obviously you can argue that's all subjective, who really knows, in your opinion, but that, like, there are always going to be trade-offs, and I guess having those trade-offs more visible to me makes me feel a little worse, when it's like, the mentality should be the same as it is on PC of, okay, well, I'm willing to trade off this, this, and this. On the other hand, I bought a beefy PC specifically so I can just go, like, ultra, okay, good, done. Now I'm ready to go. So we'll see how it all shakes out. Maybe by the middle generation, they stop offering choice. It's just, this is our vision is at 30 FPS, and that's just what we're going to do.
Imran, speaking of the PlayStation 5 and next generation, I got a question for you. When are we getting the PS5, Imran? When?
November.
You say November.
Mm-hmm. They've said November. Sony has said November.
I don't know if they've said November. I know Microsoft has said November.
Did last week?
Or they act last week?
I believe so.
Because I know there was that post accidentally that said Thanksgiving.
That was Series X.
That was Series X. Okay. Interesting. I don't recall them saying November.
I am almost positive they did, but chat will...
kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong if you have more info on that. But do you know who else says November? Andy Robinson at Video Games Chronicle. They wrote a whole article breaking down the report about when can we expect the PlayStation 5. And I'm going to read part of the article. In fact, I'm going to read most of the article, but I'm not going to read the full thing because it is a longer article. But Andy Robinson writes this. Microsoft has committed to a November launch window for its console, and VGC's retail and development sources indicate that PlayStation will stick to the same month. But in these unprecedented times, Sony and Microsoft are being forced to make equally unusual preparations for their impending next-gen console launches. Launching a product during the Christmas sales period is not easy at the best of times, but with the COVID-19 pandemic still disrupting global infrastructure, neither platform holder can be confident of sticking to an exact date for their console launches, even this late in the year. That's the reason why the two companies are hesitant to share precise release dates for PS5 and Series X, and why even major retailers and development partners don't know exactly when to plan for. Both PlayStation and Microsoft are keeping a close eye on the COVID-19 pandemic, as this will influence how and when they release their products. If there's another spike in cases, this could not only affect the ability for physical stores to sell their consoles, but it could also disrupt shipping from online retailers. According to VGC's development and retail sources, mid-November is exactly when PlayStation 5 is most likely to land. In the UK, we understand that PlayStation has already booked significant marketing spend for the 7 days commencing on Friday, November 13th. Multiple retail sources have also told us that a launch during this window would fit within their expectations. Development and retail sources also agree that Xbox will launch first. Microsoft has told developers to plan towards a launch in the very first week of November, we understand, which would also give it wiggle room to potentially slip into the second week and still launch ahead of Sony. Xbox sources indicated that the platform holder is also expecting PS5 to arrive within the week, commencing November 13th. For PS5, the suggested launch timing would mean it could release alongside key software such as Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Cyberpunk 2077, and also get a head start on the lucrative Black Friday sales, a date platform holders typically want to avoid. Quote, products do launch during that time, especially as there's a large number of people shopping over that weekend. But you're going to find yourself competing with products that have been heavily discounted, Dring explains. They continue, ideally, you'd want to launch before the end of November if you want to capitalize on the Christmas sales window, as getting your product out before the final payday of the year is a key move. Indeed, after Black Friday, the biggest sales day of the year for online retail tends to be Cyber Monday, which is usually the first Monday in December. Imran, does that do anything in your confidence as far as when the PlayStation 5 is going to come out?
Okay, so I was wrong that they did not actually say it was November. I think I just assumed when they said the Call of Duty date. Which, like that article said, it 13th is between, like, it's the day Call of Duty launches. Yakuza, I think, also launches that day, but that's on a PS5 game, so it does not apply quite yet. But yeah. Also,
well, they said it'll be coming to PS5 later.
Yes, eventually.
I forget if they said at launch or not.
It's a next-gen exclusive for Xbox One Series X for now.
Okay.
The Cyberpunk and Valhalla came out the next week. So 13th, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you there. Like at this point, like things are still somewhat up in the air because again, like who knows how things can go this year? Who knows what COVID does for manufacturing? And who knows? Like I know we talked about this recently on KFGD because I think somebody wrote in a question as far as is there a possibility that next gen gets delayed? And I think the answer we kind of came down on was somehow PlayStation and Microsoft would have to shake hands and agree at the same time to move things to spring or do some kind of like joint agreement where everybody, including them and the publishers, are like, all right, let's delay because games are being delayed anyway. Like this would be best for all parties involved. I don't know if that's impossible. Like I think there's a chance that could maybe possibly happen, but removing that from the case, I do see a lot of validity in the idea that, okay, yeah, November 13th makes sense. That aligns with how we've seen it happen before, as far as both consoles launching in November. It makes sense.
Here's my question. November 13th makes a lot of sense for PS5. Let's say, historically, you don't have both consoles launched the same day. Do you think that they separated out, or they both go full hog on 13th? Because, like, looking at the software, yeah, you're going to want both consoles out that day. Either Microsoft goes first, or they come in late. So, granted, knowing this is not a, like, firm, concrete date for the PS5, do you think that Series X, or do you think both consoles launch the same day, or do you think they stagger it out?
Well, the word from this article is saying that they go the first week of November, and I think that makes sense for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. If I'm Microsoft, I think I do want to go first, given how things went last time around, right, with the launch of the Xbox One, and how things kind of went downhill there. As Microsoft, I think you want as many advantages as you can take at this point, and being able to get out the gate first, I think, does prove as somewhat of an advantage, right? Because you get to make that first statement. You get to be the first option for people to buy.
Right.
And I think as Microsoft, you have more wiggle room as far as how you want to operate in that regard. When we figure out what the Series S is or what the Lockhart is, I think that's going to give us more context into as far as like how they can maneuver. Because like, what if the Lockhart is launched the week after Xbox Series X, right? Or what if Lockhart is early next year? I think that affects things. But
yeah,
I'd say go first week. You know, get the head start.
Yeah, I think so too. It's too much chaos to launch them on the same day, and they know that. So either they're going to go a week ahead, or they're either going to go a week ahead or launch that Monday, which I think Monday is just also insane. So they don't want to be. It is bad for them. It's bad for either console if the other console is out and it is soaking up the Call of Duty next gen sales, the Assassin's Creed sales, whatever.
Yep.
So it is best for both of them to be out that day.
Yes. Now let me hit you with this question. Not do you think they will, but do you think they should delay the consoles?
That's a lot of people will be mad if I say yes, but honestly, for their bottom lines, okay. So from the perspective of a more complete product with a better software lineup, sure. But you also just want to like. You want to get this stuff out so third parties can move on and start like developing things for these consoles. Like, I assume a big part of Ubisoft's portfolio delay last year was they're thinking of, let's just move everything to new consoles and like have that as a second or third or fourth SKU available. I imagine if you did delay consoles now, it would cause ripple effects that result in most publishers losing out on expected money or revenue in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to release the console, might as well just do it now. The software isn't going to be great, but honestly, for most people buying a console at launch, and that includes me, the initial software lineup does not matter that much. People just want to have the new thing.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that thinking, as far as like, yeah, just get the box out. Like, everything will come out later. I'm of two minds, right? On one hand, like, yeah, just put the box out and who cares? And especially when you have big publishers that are going to have games that are affected if you do push the box, right? Like, how many games then get delayed because of that? And what does that do for the bottom line across the board for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, like, I wonder if there is something there as far as if PlayStation and Microsoft both push to spring, right? Does that then allow them both to have the launches that they'd want more ideally? Like, does that allow them to have the launch lineups, the software from third party, like the software from does that allow for a better case scenario? Because obviously, like right now, things are not going well as far as like where we're at in the process. Like, PlayStation did, we reported on this yesterday, right? Like, PlayStation did the whole sign up for your chance to pre-order directly from PlayStation, and we're at the end of August and we don't have prices for these consoles.
Yeah.
And that's not normal. And that's two things, right? That is both Microsoft and PlayStation playing chicken and waiting for the other guy to go first. But at the same time, that is just like the abnormal year we're having where things get pushed, things are unsure. It's better to be safe than sorry. And it's very obvious how safe they're trying to play it. If they can just push till spring, I wonder if that then makes them go, all right, cool. Like, we're able to be more free as far as how we talk about this stuff now.
At this point, they're committed. It's going to launch in winter. I don't think it's going to change. But we are in a different world now, where the fastest-selling console of the generation launched in March. So, like, it has shown you can miss holiday sales if you want to, as long as your software lineup is compelling enough, and by delaying it, you can make the software lineup compelling enough. That said, I think it's just going to... They are going to launch in winter, hell or high water at this point. If it's only so, like... I'm going to assume at this point Miles Morales is done. So if, like, that's the only game out on PS5, then, like, sure. That's what they're going to do. Microsoft has already said, hey, we're launching November literally without our biggest game. So at this point, I don't see a situation where they don't do that.
And Ron, speaking of next-gen and launch windows, story number 3, Hitman 3's release date and free next-gen upgrade have been revealed. This is Jordan Allman at IGN. Hitman 3's January 20 release date has been revealed alongside a free next-gen upgrade. A blog post from IO Interactive notes that Hitman 3 will launch early next year on January 20th, 2021 for PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, Xbox One, Stadia, and PC via the Epic Games Store. Players who purchase a digital edition of Hitman 3 on current generation platforms will be eligible for a next-gen upgrade free of charge if they decide to jump to the PS5 or Xbox Series X in the future. This means if you buy the PS4 version of Hitman 3 on the PlayStation Store, you'll be able to also download the PS5 version at no extra cost. And Ron, finally, somebody who's doing it right as far as right. The next-gen upgrades go.
Did you see their fact? It was like, what's the difference between like the standard edition and the deluxe edition? It's like, standard edition comes with the game. Deluxe edition comes with the game plus deluxe things. That's it. That's like, it's like they're trying to just go, we're doing this as simply as possible. We're not trying to confuse you. Just buy Hitman and enjoy Hitman. That's it.
Yeah, again, because it's been such a big problem with this transition is that everybody wants to go about it in different ways, and that is causing so much confusion across the board, especially with this latest Call of Duty situation. And so, yeah, I understand IO Interactive coming through and being like, hey, yeah, let's put out the FAQ. Let's address this head on. Let's be as simple as possible, because honestly, as consumers, that is what we want from this process. We want it to be as simple as possible, because like when you complicate it, that is when things start to smell of bullshit, quite frankly.
Yeah. Like, compare this to Control, and like Control, totally on 505, I'm sure. But it still sucks. It still sucks that their next-gen upgrade is not an upgrade. It's just a new SKU that's only available through, like, an Ultimate Edition to, like, fuck over people who are fans of Control. And this is much better. This is, like, okay. Like, by the way, Hitman is free on Epic Games Store today. So you could get that stuff into the next-gen versions or the next, like, Hitman 3 super easily. And they're saying, okay, we want you to do that. We want to build a Hitman platform. And part of that is being able to let you play Hitman however you want it. And if you buy it on PS4, we don't want you to regret it when you buy a PS5 later.
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to IO Interactive in general, because I feel like they've not gotten enough credit over this last gen for how they've operated as a studio.
They've had the weirdest fucking journey. Like, they were part of Eidos, then thus part of Square Enix. Then Square Enix sold them to free up funds for Avengers, and they went to WB, who published their next game. WB apparently wasn't super happy and also is weirdly in flux these days. So they have a deal with WB, but I'm not clear if that's still happening. But also, this one's an indie game technically, because it's just them self-publishing, but also it's them taking Epic money. So it is a totally weird journey for them over this past 5 years.
But also, like, they're a company that I think has changed and evolved in ways that are appropriate for what this gen has been, because Hitman 1 was an episodic game. Yes. They released over the course of a year all their different levels, and honestly, I thought that was a really cool way to do it. At first, I was like, all right, we'll see how this goes, but by the end of it, what their vision for Hitman 1 or Hitman 2016 or whatever year that came out, their vision for that game was actually pretty phenomenal, because it was the idea of, hey, yeah, we're creating levels with the idea that they're going to be replayable and repeatable, and the more you play through them, the different ways and different methods you can use to take down your target. And that was like a really cool idea. And so the idea of, hey, let's release one map after the other over a course of time made sense to have people take those tools and go back and learn and do those things, right? And they're like the company to do that, who's not a Telltale or not a Don't Nod, right? They are that is not a narrative game. That is a heavy gameplay, open environment, open level, immersive sim experience, and they made it episodic. And I think it worked for the game, but didn't necessarily work for the sales.
Yeah.
Because obviously, they got let go from Idols for a reason, right? But post that, put out Hitman 2, partner up with WB. Hitman 2, not episodic, but still like a fantastic game.
I don't think it was a little weaker because it wasn't episodic. Like, it's still a great game, don't get me wrong. But I think the episodic model worked for that game better.
I agree, but I think the way they pivoted and made it all one game worked in the way that they still kept like the Hitman 1 stuff. They still kept like the content wise, that game was not lacking. It still felt like it was a full experience, which is really impressive. In Hitman 3, they're carrying that forward and making that a thing and making sure that you have all your content in that game from Hitman 2 and Hitman 1, and also putting that in VR, which is like crazy. Like that is a crazy progression for the studio to have all that content in there and make it available and make it like user friendly or consumer friendly in the way that, yeah, like the upgrade is free from current gen to next gen. You keep all your stuff. Some of this would make sense if it was still episodic, but even with them abandoning that, like they're still killing it, which is crazy.
I think so. Thinking about like going of that conversation, one of the reasons we talk about it not selling well was people assume that's because of the episodic structure and that's why WB changed it. But I'm starting to think like it's one of the last pure stealth AAA-ish games out there. And I think there's just not a huge market for that anymore. And like, it's encouraging that they're willing to go like, no, we can make this work. We think there's still a market for this. We just have to find it. And I appreciate IO is still doing their own thing and they're doing their own vision as much as possible. It's even if Hitman weren't a great game, you'd have to admire the way they're sticking to it.
Yeah, and I'm definitely with you there. I think this generation, especially, you look at Dishonored, you look at Deus Ex, you look at Metal Gear is kind of a weird one because like I think the deterioration of Metal Gear is less with people not digging the game and more so of Konami not knowing how to just operate as a company.
Yeah,
I don't think not knowing, like, but that's not, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's not a pure stealth game though. Like, I would say a pure stealth game is if you get caught, running and gunning is not an option. Like Hitman will allow you to like shoot some people, but like you'll usually die. Like you're probably not getting out of that situation. Like I would say that stealth these days is married to the idea of either primarily narrative or primarily escaping from guns. Usually both. Like The Last of Us, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like stealth is an option, but not necessarily the only or main option. And in Hitman, it's pretty much the only option.
And in Hitman, it's the only option, right? And you look at, and to bring in Splinter Cell as another example, right? Like I feel like so many stealth games or games that do have large stealth sequences have kind of fallen by the wayside or just not made a comeback. And Hitman does have the thing where it is fully a stealth game. And I think it's also the thing of it is Hitman, right? Which is a known IP and does have a fan base there. And what is the balance of, hey, let's make a Hitman game, but also let's make a Hitman game that'll sell. And I don't know, they're with all the things that they're kind of facing or that they have faced over the last generation as a company, they've been staying true to Hitman, what Hitman is, and making that thing good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I appreciate that their thinking is it's not that there's no market for it, it's that we'll make the market for it. And that's
exactly
fantastic.
Our last news story, story number four, Unity launches Android distribution platform globally. This is from Marie D'Alessandri at gamesindustry.biz. Unity is launching a distribution platform for developers to reach Android users beyond Google Play. The Unity distribution portal was introduced last year and available since, but is now launching globally following successful testing. It allows developers to upload their game build and sign up for each store they want to distribute on. UDP then handles the work of creating builds that meet each store's requirements and helps developers push the game to various stores, all from one dashboard. While Google Play is the dominant platform to distribute Android games, there are many alternative stores worldwide. The app stores landscape is particularly fragmented in China, a prime mobile market, as Google Play is banned in the country. Unity pointed out in its announcement that third-party app stores are set to keep growing too. An estimated $10.6 billion in revenue will be made by alternative stores in 2020, News reported, which would represent a 20.5% growth year on year. And this is a new story I wanted to bring into the fold, mainly to even grant more context on the Epic versus Apple stuff, and essentially to lend credence to the idea of why Apple specifically is kind of the enemy here, as far as why Epic is going after them, right? Because this is a big, I mean, on the Google Play side of things, right? When we talk about the 30% cuts and the things that Apple is doing, but also other companies are doing on Google Play, other options are there as far as distribution, as far as storage and all this stuff. And this is like a very big example. When we talk about the $10.6 billion in revenue made by alternative stores in 2020, like that is a big point as far as why Apple and the monopolization of that store in their platform is kind of an issue when it comes to putting out a game. And so...
Yeah, I'm not surprised that other places are sensing weakness or at least an opportunity to pounce in the bigger stores now. So they're trying to see okay. So I've been around a bunch of dog trainers recently because my brother just got a dog. And they were telling me that the dog, when you try to put in a timeout, hold it by its collar, the dog will just move its head just to see how far it can take it, see how far it can push the idea. This to me is what they're doing, is they're trying to just move and see, okay, well, they're not pulling me back for this. So how far can I take this idea? And if it works out for them, if they actually can just move on and get their own revenue sources or own alternatives, Unity is at the moment the, I think, biggest engine on mobile phones, then this is a good spot for them. This, they can keep trying and keep trying to claw back their profits from that 30%.
Imran, I'm really excited to see what the future of the mobile games market is and how when we can expect big change. But big change is probably so far away. If I want to know what is coming to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Road to Guangdong for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch, Captain Tsubasa, Rise of New Champions for PS4, Switch, and PC, Wasteland 3 for PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Mac, Project Cars 3 for PS4, Xbox One, PC, Nexomon Extinction for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac, Madden NFL 21 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Windbound for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Immortal Realms Vampire Wars for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, Xing for PS4, PC, Liege Dragon for Xbox One and PC, Hexagroove, Tactical DJ for Xbox One. Kevin, can I get a search for Hexagroove, Tactical DJ? Because I have to know. Nope. I gotta know. No? Okay, well, it was, I tried.
You know I'm on it. What did I say? Me. Just say please.
Please, Kevin. Please, Kevin.
Wait, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What was it? Spell right.
Hexagon. No, Hexagroove. Tactical DJ.
Okay, I had gone too far down. Let's see. Where is this Hexagroove? All right, you can keep going. I got it.
Yeah, all right. Double Kick Heroes for Xbox One. Dungeons of Edera for PC. Beholder's Lair for PC. Gearbox for PC. Throw It for PC. Death's Hangover for Switch. Kevin, I might also need one for Death's Hangover for Switch after we look at Hexagroove.
That sounds good, boss man. I got the first one ready, so you want to
appreciate it. We'll get there in a second. Solitaire, Klondike Minimal for Switch, Color Jumper for Switch, Jump Force Deluxe Edition for Switch, Grim Legends Forsaken Bride for Switch, A Hero and a Garden for Switch, and then Surgeon Simulator 2.
Before you finish, we have Christopher Lloyd, Doc Brown himself, here to announce the last one.
Wait, I'm confused.
Actually, we've got nothing.
It was really good.
That was really good. You legit stumped me for a good 5 seconds there until I put the pieces together. My mind was breaking trying to figure out what the fuck you were saying. That was good. That was very good. Doc Brown is here to announce Surgeon Simulator 2 is out now for Epic Games Store. All right. Kevin, what is this Hexagroove?
Yeah.
Tactical DJ? All right, press play. I got to know. Put on your headphones.
Yes, right now.
Oh, it's a headphone boy. Okay.
Doesn't seem very tactical so far.
You got like a UI here. Looks like some kind of music UI. Some good music playing in the background. Start with a beat.
Wait, this is actually a DJ game.
Yeah, this is like a, it looks like a DJ.
I assume it would be like some sort of like rhythm RTS or something, just by the name.
Tactical DJ?
Yeah.
No, it looks like you're tactically DJing is the actual bit here. Alright. Alright, looks like
I want to jump to the end.
Yeah, I want to see what the final product looks like. Honestly?
Oh, well,
yo, this looks cool.
Okay, no, this is...
It is, I think it's a little bit of everything.
So yeah, you make the music and then you play it, like physically play play a level based on the music.
It's a DJ game where you set things up and then play through the actual song. That's really cool. All right, we got Death's Hangover also.
Give me one second. I'm still finding that one. Yeah, there it is.
That DJ game's on Switch, right? Oh, I might look into that. That seems kind of fun. All right, this is Death's Hangover by Cubic Games.
If you get that DJ game, get Timoko.
Is that not Kirby?
That looks like Kirby.
It looks more like Boos. Like little pink Boos.
Look like a Boo Kirby.
I mean, really, what is the difference between a Boo and Kirby?
The legs.
Oh, shit.
The feet. Yeah.
The feet. Yeah. Kirby does not have legs.
Kirby with legs would be
also the insane sexual energy, right?
Yeah.
Death has a hangover, and he was robbed by nightmarish Dracula. Okay.
Oh,
no,
it's
fine.
It's a Brick Breaker.
Arkanoid. Brick Breaker, yeah.
Wizard.
So it's like for audio listeners,
but
right?
It is. Parts.
Yeah, it's like a top-down, it's like action-looking game that like, it looks, I don't know what to compare it to, but it's basically Arkanoid.
It looks like Brick Breaker, but if it had sex with Centipede and it was born on Halloween.
Yes. No, that's actually a very good way to put it.
Yeah, thanks.
I feel like Death and Dracula would be friends, though.
Yeah, but I feel like in that shitty way where it's like Dracula was always trying to get him drunk so that he can be like, look, I'm cooler. I can drink more alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm Dracula. Drink this Patron. I don't know why I did that accent for Dracula.
Yeah, that was an interesting joke.
That's not how Dracula sounds.
I mean, it could. It's your fantasy, you know?
Yeah, your fantasy.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. New days for you. Cardo is coming to PS4 on October 27th.
That game seems real cute.
Cardo?
Yeah, I played a demo of it a couple of years ago. It's really cute. It's like real Wind Waker vibes.
Do you want me to pull
what
it up?
What is it?
It's a top-down, sprite-based adventure game where you find pieces of the map and move them around to solve puzzles.
Yo, it's Friday. Kevin, pull it up. Let's check this out. Also, I'm gonna for full transparency here, I gotta be honest, right? During like story number 3, Kevin messaged me on Slack and was like, hey, something in review. And when I saw the notification, I was talking, and so I was like, okay, I can't talk and read at the same time. But I'm gonna assume that in review really needs to start at 11 a.m. So I'm gonna start rushing the show. And then I got to story 4, read the actual DM, and the DM said, hey, in review, it's not starting until 11:20, so we can take our time with this one. So we're chilling. It's Friday. We're having a good time. What is
I gotta move a car at some point, so let's actually move it along.
For sure.
We'll just go. We'll hold it off.
This is Cardo. How far away did you park?
This does about 2 blocks.
Yeah, we can hold it off for 2 blocks. We talk about our breakfast. It'll be great.
No, we got this. We got this.
Sure? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, when is street sweeping for you? Is it at 11?
Well, no. I moved the car. I need to pay the meter. To the car.
Oh, like, the meter.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait, did you not take a picture of the thing that's like, you know, what is it? There's an app called Pay on the Go.
Pay by phone.
Pay by phone. Pay by phone. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I did not notice a picture thing there.
Dude, you got to get pay by phone. It'll change your life. You can just add. You add more money to the meter on your phone.
Yeah. You could have handled it right now.
I could have. Sadly, I missed the opportunity this time.
All right.
Of course, yesterday was Gamescom, and with that came a lot of Gamescom news, which I'll get to in a second because I forgot about this next one. Ni No Kuni Crossworlds has been revealed. It's an MMO for mobile devices coming this year to Japan. So if you live in Japan, get hyped. And the rest of these are pretty much from Gamescom. Spellbreak is available on September 3rd. LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga is coming coming spring 2021. Warhammer Stormground is coming 2021. World of Warcraft Shadowlands launches on October 27th. Bridge Constructor The Walking Dead was announced and is coming 2020 to everything. Doom Eternal, The Ancient Gods Part 1 is launching October 20th. And then Jurassic World Evolution is coming to Switch on November 3rd. And then also, this is not from Gamescom, the open world elemental action of Genshin Impact hits PS4 on September 28th. Do you remember Genshin Impact?
Yeah,
I forgot that where we saw that one.
It was at the last State of Play? Yeah, it was the one that looks a lot like Breath of the Wild, but with anime.
Yes. And honestly, it looks kind of cool, if I'm being honest. And so Genshin Impact, maybe get excited, but we'll see. We'll see on that one. Now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Klarna. Thanks to Klarna for supporting Kind of Funny Games Daily in Sweden. They don't shop, they Klarna. Klarna is a revolutionary new online shopping app from Sweden that allows you to shop thousands of online stores and pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments that make shopping smoother. With the Klarna app, you can shop anywhere online from the one app. It's easy to use and convenient to browse thousands of online stores from one convenient place. Pay for anything in 4 easy, interest-free payments. Paying after delivery allows you to try before you buy, and you can also report returns directly in the app. Get the best deals with customized price drop alerts on items you save to your wish list. It's always good to shop smarter and save money. Create and share wish lists of items with friends and families anywhere online. It's a fun, easy way to show what kind of products you like. Tim loves how easy it is to find what you're looking for and get set up. Klarna is a smoother, friendlier, Swedisher way to shop online. It's the one-stop shopping app for browsing and buying anything online, all in one app, and it allows you to pay for anything in 4 easy interest-free payments. Download the Klarna app today. That's K-L-A-R-N-A, Swedish for shopping. We're also brought to you by Bespoke Post. As y'all settle into this new normal version of summer, Bespoke Post is here with customized box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. Right now, more than ever, you got to make sure to treat yourself right, and the assortment of boxes available from Bespoke Post will help you do just that. They've got boxes featuring nice bags, wallets, kitchenware, and more. I scrolled through the site earlier, and I was blown away by the amount of varied items I wanted to get my hands on. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month, no matter what you're into. Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life. One of the boxes, called Laced, comes with a comfy pair of suede shoes that look super stylish. I plan to wear mine every day when they get delivered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. $70. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter code GAMES at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com. Code GAMES for 20% off your first box. Imran.
Yes.
Steve writes in to kindoffunny.com/Patreon and says, hi, Blessing and Imran. How is the current state of video games development? More specifically, at the start of the pandemic and the work from home situation, game development studios could not do motion capture or orchestral music recording. Have studios been able to find a way to get this done? Appreciate your insight.
I don't know. Some have, some haven't. Like, it depends on a lot of things. Depends on people who have liability issues and who have liability covered. And some studios have figured it out well, and some have thought this would have ended by now and it did not have a long-term plan. So, like, there's a lot of concerns, right? There's, like, you've got new dev kits out in the wild, and do the companies allow you to take, I assume by this point they must allow you to take the dev kits home, but do they have enough for everybody to work on? If they don't, then, like, who is using them? Do they have enough for the people who need them? Are there resources that involve, like, childcare and things like that that aren't really, like, taken care of yet? Basically, it's not a single question of who's able to do just simple things, but it's a more systemic societal question at this point. And I can see it affecting game development well into 2022 on it. Like, not necessarily games that we still have it around by then, but, like, games that are coming around then. Like, I know games that were supposed to come out this year that have been delayed and not have were just officially not delayed or whatever. And I imagine to some extent, like, QA must be, like, fucking terrible right now. Like, you can't really work the mills that way. And there's NDAs that prevent people from playing the games at home. So those could be problems. There's no simple answer to that question. Basically, some have, some haven't. And I know, like, ones that were struggling before have figured it out for what they need to do. And some that were struggling before or were not struggling before are struggling now. So it's going to be a long-term problem for game development for the next couple of years, at least.
Yeah, your answer is going to vary studio by studio. Like, I remember in March when we first started working from home, like, I remember in my mind, I was like, oh, cool. Like, we're going to work from home for 2 weeks, be back. Everything's going to be back to normal. And now it's, what, 6 months later? It's 5 months later, almost about to be 6 months later, and we're still at home, right? And I think with that, like, you can probably take that property and apply it across the board as far as, you know, for quite a few games, I think you saw delays because, hey, you know, let's put a pause on things. We're not going to work for, or the things that we need to be in person for, we're just going to put a pause on it for the for a month. And when we get back, that's when those things will get done. I think a few months in, when we start to get a full picture of, all right, no, yeah, we're going to be home for a lot longer, right? Or this situation is going to be around for a lot longer. I think that's when you see companies and studios start to put in, or start to find ways to work around that and start to find ways in to figure out how to do things from home, right? Like, approve having dev kits at home, figure out how to get more dev kits so you can take them home, figure out how people can do voice lines or do voice recording socially distanced or from home, right? Like, that, those become processes that at a certain point by now, you're probably like, all right, enough of the pause. We have to figure out a way to work around and do this. And for quite a few, for like a lot of studios, that's probably going to mean a lot of those processes are going to take longer because things are harder to do from home than in person. And some things might be vice versa, right? There might be some things that you would discover that at home are actually easier to do than in person. But yeah, with that, like every studio and every company is going to be handling those things differently. And again, that's why you're seeing delays. That's why, you know, I think in the Halo Infinite delay, they referenced COVID. Like, that's why you'll see things like that, right? And that is folks making an adjustment, but that's not necessarily them being like, everything's paused. That is them being like, all right, we got to adjust, and these adjustments are going to mean things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, it's an open question of like, varies. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Lawrence writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey guys, as someone that identifies as non-binary, I'm usually a fan of when games include gender-inclusive options for their games, especially excited for Cyberpunk for stuff like this. But the way Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War is handling it really aggravates me. Having a gender-neutral classified option feels like a very backhanded bone to throw to the queer community when the game's campaign shows the characters working closely with Reagan, the president who let thousands of queer people die during the AIDS crisis and was a famous homophobe. I understand that the problematic campaigns I understand that problematic campaigns in COD are nothing new, but if Reagan is the head honcho for the campaign, I'd rather they just not include the gender neutral option at all. Also brings up a question of who they're trying to market this game to. Appreciate y'all and have a great weekend. This is an interesting one because I saw yesterday as news, or was it the day before? Whatever Call of Duty was revealed this week, I saw as that was happening. Yeah, like the whole, there are three options for your character in campaign, because this time around, your character in campaign is a created character. The three options are, I believe, male, female, classified. Right. And I saw that rub so many people the wrong way.
Yeah, at that point, I would have just not put gender in. Like, I can understand why they did it that way, but at that point they should have started asking, they should have reached out to queer groups and talked to them and be like, hey, so what do you think is actually best here? And honestly, the answer probably should have just been like non-binary, but they didn't. And
or the answer could have been just pronouns, right? Like,
yes,
just have people choose their pronouns. And to like the point in the question, right, Lorenz is mentioned toward the end of there, right? Like, bringing up who are they trying to market to? I think part of it comes with them being like, all right, what is going to cause the least stir and reaction? Like, how can we implement a gender neutral option that isn't going to ruffle feathers? If for some reason pronouns do that for people, and I don't necessarily understand. But the most ideal option I would think would be, hey, like, choose your pronouns. You want to be he/him, they/them, or she/her, right? And that's an easy way to get around that whole thing, as opposed to going classified, which feels like it is kind of a backhanded, like, hey, yeah, let's not address it kind of thing.
This is a thing, like, I can tell they were trying, and that's, you know, that is to a degree laudable, but, like, honestly, they should have just spoken with some groups and figured out the best way to do this. Because, like, this does feel like it does, even though that was not their intention, it feels like they are making fun of it, and that is not going to come off as well as they hope.
Do you have any thoughts on the Reagan thing? Because I don't necessarily...
Oh, Reagan was, like, the description in the question of Reagan as a person is, and, like, the things he did regarding AIDS, fair, true.
Yeah.
It is true. Yeah. Like, Reagan has been very much lionized over the years to the point where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But, yeah, he was awful about queer problems and AIDS and all those things. I was actually biting my tongue a little bit when we were watching that Reagan trailer. Because, like, yeah, if you're going to lionizing Reagan to that extent, he was the president, and I'm curious how the actual storyline is going to present him. Mm-hmm. But also, this is a series that has had, like, Oliver North as a major character, and, like, is not this, like, even last year, or Modern Warfare was kind of shitty about some of these politics. So it feels like a losing battle at some point, just, like, to point out all the ways Call of Duty does these, like, micro things that feel shitty. So I, at this point, it's exhausting to talk about it.
Yeah, to Lauren's write-in, right? I understand the frustration as far as, yeah, if Reagan is the head honcho for this game, I don't even want to be represented, right? I don't even want, like, the to have that option because of who Reagan was as a president, as a human being. Yeah. That's one of those things that for me, from the outside looking in, that's kind of a hard thing for me to juggle as far as what you do, like the idea of, hey, yeah, I want to have this group of people represented in the game because representation is important, but also, like, we want to have this president represented in the game because of historical accuracy or whatever the case may be. It's a box of worms that I don't necessarily have an answer to.
Yeah, it's one of those things of if you're going to bring in real world events, you have to be prepared to paint them as ugly as they were. And the years since Reagan has been president have been very kind to him in terms of reputation, but the reality of it was not that.
We have one more question from Brandon H, who writes in and says, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is finally coming to Canada, and my fiance was able to get us on the exclusive list to try it before it goes live nationwide. How should we prepare for this epic moment?
Don't have that many expectations. It's a good sandwich. That's all you should really care about. Did you actually end up trying one, Blessing?
Oh yeah, no, I had one last Saturday. I gave my review on it on the episode that Andrea Renee was on. And it was excellent. I really enjoyed it. It was I have it tied with the Jollibee chicken sandwich, but okay. I feel like
chicken sandwich might be going away now.
Is it really?
Did you not see that thing of, like, Jollibee's closing on 13,000 stores?
I mean, I saw that, but, like,
the sandwich itself is probably staying on the
hours?
Menu.
Hour Jollibee?
It can't be hours.
I didn't see a list.
There is no way they're closing a Jollibee in Daly City.
I have never seen the line not have 10, at least 10 cars. It is often, like, in the way and blocking parts of the parking lot.
Yeah, because it's in the same lot, and I don't want to, like, expose this, but it's in the same lot as a grocery store, and there's more action at that Jollibee than in that supermarket.
Blessing, just so you know, there is one Jollibee in, like, a 5-mile radius. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. Still, they cannot. There is no way this Jollibee is going anywhere. If they close all Jollibees, this Jollibee will be like the last Blockbuster where it's like somehow they found a way because like there's so much business going on here that them closing this one, it would have to work as its own entity at some point. But to your question, Brandon H, I don't know, wear a suit, you know, like dress up nice for it. That's what I'm going
to
say.
And then send us the pictures, but like a printout, and send it to the P.O. box. And let us know. We'll frame it and send it back.
Now it's time to squad up. Delilah writes in with a squad up on PS4 and says, I'm one trophy away from getting the platinum in Code Vein. Can anyone help me get the Exalted Reputation trophy by playing online with me so I can get 400 Mark of Honor medals? Thank you in advance for helping me earn my 110th platinum. If you want to add Delilah on PS4 and play with them, you can add them with the username Assassina San. That is Assassina-San. Assassina San. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite it and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Kebabs writes in and says, specifically, Insomniac dropped 60 FPS after A Crack in Time, with All for One being the first 30 FPS Ratchet title in 2011.
Ratchet title sounds like it means something else.
Oh wait, this is breaking news. I know that's bad for you, wrong. But the Avengers Battle Pass has paid superheroes, not free.
Wait, what? Marvel.
Remember, you can't always trust it. You gotta look into it.
I'm gonna open up that link. I'm verifying right now. There's a lot going on in your own
pony ride. You know what I mean?
I mean, Push Square is reporting that.
Yeah, all right. So the title,
you looked into it. Smart man.
Push Square writes, Marvel's Avengers has a paid battle pass for every superhero after launch. Oh, that can't be good.
Does that include like the Hawkeye and all that jazz? I assume they were all free. I don't know if they were.
If they're saying every superhero, that would include like Iron Man and like the base ones, right?
Starting with Hawkeye, you'll then need to purchase these cards separately for 1,000 credits.
I'm going to read the card.
Okay, go for it.
Crystal Dynamics has always promised that superheroes added to Marvel's Avengers after launch will always be free, but what it didn't tell us until now is that the cosmetics associated with those characters will have to be unlocked via a purchasable
the cosmetics.
On, guys, you got to read the whole article.
Well, no, the Battle Pass is purchasable, but you unlock the cosmetics through the Battle Pass. The
character itself, the story, gameplay, mechanics, and locations associated with them will be free of charge.
Okay, well, that at least is
okay,
good.
Okay, so yeah. I blame the analogist for that one.
Yeah. I mean, that's still surprising,
in the chat, he was like, read the full article. So maybe he explains it further in there. And then, you know, now you're blaming him for something.
Yeah. In the last paragraph of the article, they're like, to be clear, the character itself and the story, gameplay mechanics, and locations associated with them will be free of charge. But
we got battle
pass. Yeah, we got God. But I'm still curious, like, when they say all the battle passes, do those include the base characters? Because I always had the assumption that those would be free. But maybe that was just a bad assumption. Because I guess you've always had to buy battle passes for games. But the idea that, like, are they individually purchasable for each character? Because that seems egregious if I'm buying five battle passes for one game. Right? Am I crazy?
Well, they space them out, though. Like, let's say if it takes
In the Push Square article, they say $10 for each character, right? And we have, what, five characters at launch? Six characters at launch?
But
that's $60 post-launch for the battle pass? For each character?
Yeah, but if that's spaced out over 2 years?
Well, for post-launch.
Yeah. So it comes with six people?
I'm going to say six, because, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Kamala, Captain America's dead, Black Widow, so I don't think Iron Man. Captain America's going to come back to life at some point.
I'm joking.
No, he's dead.
So it comes with the six, and then they said how many afterwards? They've confirmed...
My worry is that the best characters will be like the best cosmetics and costumes will be in the battle pass.
I mean, 100%. That's not even a worry. That's gonna be a fact.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think I'm gonna roll with the assumption that the base, because it's not clear in the article, but the base characters will probably have a free battle pass, and then the DLC characters, or not even the DLC, the updated characters will have the battle pass, which is more acceptable. But even still,
I'm really confused on why you're saying the base ones will have a free battle pass.
Because, okay, think about it this way, right? The game comes out. Comes out with six characters.
Yeah.
The battle pass apparently costs $10 for each character.
But, like, what does the battle pass do? Is it, like, battle pass is, like, the same way that Fortnite is, like, you pay for it and it accelerates your levels thing?
You pay for it, and then that grants you like a progression system for the characters as far as like unlocking cosmetics and having a thing.
But
won't
it have that for free, like, as Because you know the way Fortnite has the free version where it's like it takes you longer to get stuff? Like, aren't we assuming that Avengers is going to have that too? Where it's like you could just without buying the Battle Pass?
To some extent, yeah. But at the same time, Avengers is also a paid full price game where like Fortnite is free. And so we kind of like you kind of expect Fortnite to operate the way it does. But with Avengers, right? If I'm paying $60 for the base game.
The opposite. I feel like because Fortnite is a free to play game, you expect them to try to get money from you in other places.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying is that because Fortnite is free, I kind of expect the Battle Pass and for what they're doing for Avengers, we'll talk about this more on Monday because I've got to let this sit and gotta let this whole story come out before I try and dive in.
Blessing is right that the base characters, the base game characters, will have their challenge cards unlocked straight away.
Straight away.
Yeah, okay. With everyone after that who's not in the initial game, starting with Hawkeye, you'll then need to purchase those for 100,000 credits.
Thank God.
Credits cost $10. That much credits cost $10.
Can you earn it in game?
No. This story, I don't know for sure, says currency can only be bought with real world money.
And then a couple of other folks in Yurong are mentioning that Spider-Man Miles Morales will be playable in 4K 60 as the performance mode, but will also have another graphic setting, which has not been explained. And so more to learn about that. Next week's host for the show go like this. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Imran, back at it like a bad habit. Wednesday is Gary Witta. Thursday, Greg and Tim. And then Friday, Greg and me. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.